page Lamed Beis, Paragvav, Sif Yud. Paragvav, Sif Yud. I'm not sure what it means, and everybody should try to understand and to help. Kishem Sheha Adam Habari Hu Chafetz Chaim. The same way that a person who's healthy desires life, he wants to live. A healthy person has a big cheshek to live. Even though there are all kinds of things in life that are hard and he's struggling with. But nevertheless, he doesn't give up with that rotzen to live. It's just that's the most basic simon of a person's health, of a person's emotional well-being, is that he still, despite all, he is chafetz chaim. He desires life. Veina mechafes al ze taimim v'chochas. And if you ask him, if you would go to this person and say, based upon what I see in your life, I don't understand why you're so interested in living. Nobody could ever talk that way, chas v'shalom. But lui tzuya, that you would ask a person, what exactly do you have to live for? And the person, God forbid, lost this and lost that, and everyone has passed away, and it's he's old or she's old, and by himself or herself. And Echanami, many people in that matzav say that they don't want to live. They're not going to do anything about that, but they don't really have a cheshek to live. But that's, of course, that because the person has fallen into a place that's not healthy. To the last minute, to the last breath, a healthy person is Chavetz Chaim. V'ein mechapes is hatam v'aychach. He asks him, why? Why? So the answer is, I have to prove to you, I have to explain to you, there has to be a reason why it's good to be alive. And if you say, yeah, I don't understand, what is it in your life that's so gewaldic that you want to live? Ein mechapes is hatam v'aychach. You see how desperately people fight to stay alive, and if there's somebody whose life is in danger, the world gets all, and to try to help and to save and so on. For some reason, some mysterious reason, the world sees life as something which is valuable. One of the scariest signs of society that we see now in society is that there are many people that don't appear to have such a natural chafetz for life. And there are many self-destructive things that people are doing. That's a very strong sign of unhealthy people and an unhealthy society. But we're not talking about that. That's a different discussion. It doesn't have to prove and explain, why do I want to be alive? What's the tachlis? What do you need to be alive for? He wants to live. And it's good to be alive. But a person who is emotionally ill, to the point that he's karv la'abed zatzmo das, that he's contemplating the possibility of taking his own life, God forbid. Hello, Elena was on the phone for over an hour yesterday with a person that was talking like this. Which, Baruch Hashem, is going to, it's not up to me, don't worry, it's going to professional, but the lashon was, Karv la abedis atzmaladas. He was saying over and over, I can't do it anymore, there's no point, I don't want to go on with this, I can't go on with this, I'm a failure, I don't want to go on with this. So karv la abedis atzmaladas. Such a person who, God forbid, is sick in this way, but this machlis anefesh, who mutal besveikis al tachlis achayim. his whole life, his very existence is in a state of suffix, of doubt. He doesn't know why he should continue living, and his very life is in question. This is really how B'nai Yisrael, how we felt when we had that inyan of Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu am'ayin. Without going into it by Arichas, that was really Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu am'ayin, that question, which goes back to the snake, Hanachash Hishiani v'ochal, which the B'nai Yisrael points out that the word, that word Hishiani means that the snake convinced me and tricked me or convinced me, persuaded me that that word, the Shiani, is the Isis Yesh Ayin. The Isis Yesh Ayin, meaning, should I or shouldn't I? On the words of a famous Mushchus, to be or not to be, that question is a question of that comes from Machlas and Nefesh. That could be on for the individual person. When a person, God forbid, can't think of how he's going to, why should I live? Yes, Sveikas. He's not taking his life, but he has sveikas, a bad life. And it could happen even to a people. When the people give up in their national life as Hashem's people, then there's that question of Ayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu am'ayin. Is Hashem with us? Is he inside of us or is he not? It's the same question. It's not just a question of Hashgacha Pratis. It's a question of, is there any point to my life at all? Is there any point to my life? I'm not sure. This is Mesupik. It's a terrible thing, but there are many people that are like that, and there are many communities and nations. Kain bal nefesh bria, a person talking about a yid who has a nefesh bria, who has a soul that is alive and healthy and well, not, God forbid, this type, not with these sveikas, but is certain as to the importance and the urgency of being alive. So a bal nefesh bria who oyhev es atayra. So if Cook says an interesting thing, he says such a person loves the Torah. He loves the Torah, oivis haTorah, meaning he loves what the point of Cook is making is, you'll see, he loves every part of Torah. Every ounce of life, every breath of life. Because when life is precious and if one understands that life is the most valuable thing that you have, so then every drop of it is priceless. Therefore, the person who, a Jew, for whom life is precious, every single breath of life is precious. Mimela, every single part of Tyre is precious. Not just this topic or that topic. This Indian or that Indian. Even though he has certain favorites, that he is in the Tiyas HaNefesh, to certain, and we know we've spoken a lot about this, but he has a Chelek, and has certain Tiyas to this way of learning, that type of Torah, and that Indian in Torah. It's true. But on the most basic level, the same way that you see that a person might prefer to live in California, prefers to live in New York, this person prefers milchigs, this one prefers fleishigs. Eating is chiyus, gives you life. You prefer, when it comes down to it, if it's a matter of bread and water, God forbid, if that's all that a person's left with, okay. That's good. Bread and water is good too. Now, that might not be something that you would say is your preferred chiyus as far as eating is concerned. You would, whatever it is, you like a steak and fries. Or if you're a Met fan and you like milchigs, then maybe it's Begziti or something. I found that a lot of Mets fans like Milchus. I don't know how come that just works out that way. Yankees are usually fly sheeps. Yeah. I figure it must have to do with that. Must have to do with it. So, yeah, because it came out that the Yankees are also Hasidish. And that the Mets are misnagdim. So it must have something to do with my problem. I know, I thought about that. So, it's okay, so a person thinks that my chiyus is from having some baked ziti. That's my chiyus. But if it comes down to it, you also love bread and water. Why? Because when push comes to shove, if you're in a certain matzav, you understand that I want to live. And in order for me to live right now, they're not offering me any baked ziti. And they're not offering me any steaks. I have bread and water, and I'm so grateful. You know why? Because I want to live. So you say, I like the climate in California is gewaltig. I can't stand New York. Look what goes on over here. I want to be in California. You live in San Diego every single day. It's 69 to 72 degrees, and it's sunny. So I love. So someone said, but the all Jews have to leave San Diego. They're taking all Jews out of San Diego, and you have to go to the East Coast. So you say, no, I'm not going. I'm going to die in San Diego. You're crazy. Or you're not healthy. Because to be alive is more important than being in San Diego. Maybe with Philadelphia it's not like that. But otherwise, to be alive, it's kedai to tavchi is in New York. So you prefer to be in San Diego. No, you like the weather. So you like a steak and you don't want to have bread and water. If you, God forbid, they throw you into prison and you'd be someplace where you'd be very happy to have bread and water. It would be the best delicacy in the world. So when it comes to that person who desires life, even though he prefers, let's say, to learn Nezikin over Nasha, or he prefers to learn Nigla over Nister, or Nister over Nigla, or Tanakh over Halacha, or Halacha over Machshav, whatever it is, he prefers. But there is this deep sense that every single drop of Torah is life. There are enhancements that I enjoy. Even the presentation. I was learning a sefer last night, and a terrible thought came upon me. I mean, terrible. I had this thought. I was looking at this sefer that came out, and that as somebody sent me from Eretz Yisrael, this very beautiful sefer, and it's a new hotzah, edition. It's a new edition of an old sefer. Now, I have the old sefer from 35, 40 years ago, but it's a very nice new edition, new typeset. It was done over. Like they're doing a lot of farm now. So last night I was learning the sefer for around 45 minutes, and I had this. I was thinking about how I haven't looked at the sefer in so many years, and my whole learning the sefer I felt was not emesvig. I felt it wasn't emesvig. I just felt that I liked the new offset. I have this sefer sitting myself for years and years, and I used to look at it when I was 15, 14. I haven't looked at it in a long time. In all those years, I looked. I've had to look something up. Maybe I look at it, but I haven't really learned it. And I'm sitting here last night, and I said, oh, I'm enjoying this sefer. So how come I don't learn it all the time? So I'm learning it now. I enjoy it because they put it out nice and new, and it smells good, and has big letters, and it has nakudas. So I was enjoying it, but I wasn't really enjoying. I enjoy the sefer, but I was enjoying the new printing of the sefer, not the sefer. But because be'emes, the sefer is a sefer that I've had all the years. So the teretz is that every single drop of life, regardless of the package that it comes in, you can make it more beautiful. So it has a nicer printing, bigger aisias, nakudas, a better binding, whatever. It's But if it will come down to it, of course, and the person is in Golus and he has a second, he grabs the sefer. It makes no difference if the sefer is a 2011 deluxe edition from Moshe Rav Kook, or if he has something from 1883 that's crinkly and old, and it's a drop of life. Just we like to have, we're spoiled and we like to have good stuff. So bread and water is not good. We like to have good stuff. I told this to you once. My father said that after the war, when he was in Budapest after the war, he said that it was just right after they were liberated and they came out, whatever. I don't know, he got out of, after, I think it was after DP camp or maybe before, I'm not sure. But they were still, it must have been before DP camp, because they were very, very still short on food and things that they needed. And my father said there was a store in Budapest that had a sign, free bread. So my father was so grateful for that. He came and he said, would you mind if I have a few pieces of bread? So the guy said, that's only if you eat here. The bread comes with a meal. I'm not giving out any bread. And they made bizarreness. And my father said that he walked out and he was looking at the window at the sign that said free bread. And he said that there couldn't be a better offer in the world than that. We would make fun of such a thing, free bread. We're trying to stay away from bread, right? You go to the restaurant and say, no. And I'm not washing. I'm not washing. So you'll have an extra four pieces of dessert in this. I'm not washing. So free bread, wow. How could it be better than having free bread? That's the best thing in the world, free bread. Of course, he didn't get it. But it's only because we have tastes. But a person who loves Torah feels how valuable every drop of Torah is. Yeah. He loves the Torah and all of the mechkar, meaning all of the studying, learning, inquiring, going into all of the limud. Mechkar means investigations, inquiries, looking into things. Melei v'nefesh, with all of his heart and soul. V'davar echad min ha-Torah. That's why I think this is what he's saying, because v'davar echad min ha-Torah, even one little detail of Torah, one little thing of Torah. So again, we became very spoiled. So if someone gets up, and I've mentioned this in the past, if someone would get up and say he's giving a shiur, and they're invited to the shiur, you come to the shiur, and he says he learns with the olam, he just learns Chumash Rashi. You feel like you were cheated. What does he do? He gets up and he says, okay, there's a shiur in Parshas Yisro. And then he just gets up and he starts to read Chumash, and he reads Rashi, and he translates Rashi. So everybody's waiting. Where's the Sfasamis? What happened to the machloikis between Rashi and the Ramban? It's not. We're just doing Rashi. So a person might feel like I was expecting something more than that. I was hoping for something more elaborate than that. Even though Rashi has everything. But I was hoping for, he didn't say it fancy, he just said Rashi. I was hoping for something more elaborate. And I've told this to you, that I've met Jews, that for them that would be an Eitzer Gadol. Not because they're not smart, that would be a treasure. Just something, just to go over Rashi. So I could say, I need him to tell me Rashi, I can do Rashi. What's enough for me? Right now, you're doing Rashi. And you're hearing Devil Kim Chaim. But the same way you have a person that has a certain taste, and he's not makshiv bread and water, even though the Etzem HaChayis of a person is bread and water. So Rav Kook is saying that when a person feels the love of life itself, he feels the value of every drop of Torah, whatever that Torah is. If you had a Dvar Torah, you saw a Dvar Torah, you heard a Dvar Torah, if he opens up a safe and he sees that there's a Vart that he like, it's Kedai, he doesn't feel, I can't believe I spent $14 on this safe and I only saw one Vart. I saw one thing that I get. No. Even if it's a diktuk, meaning it's a certain very particular fine point. A person might say, whatever, it's a pilpul. You know something? Even if a person gives a pilpul and you don't like the way the person gives it, but he said over. He said over the shita, let's say, of the Rambam. He said the shita of the Ran. He said the shita of Tosfos. And then you don't like the way that he worked out the whole thing, right? You don't like the pill, but you know, the way you should look at it is like this. What? I got to hear what the Rambam said on something. I didn't know that. I got to hear what the Rambam said, and I got to hear what Tosfos said. That's good. The way that he messed up all of that, you know, he made a whole bilbul of a pilpul to come out with such a strange pshat. Okay. You know, I don't have to, that's not machriya me to think that way, but, you know, I just heard on the Inyan that I didn't know. Look, I'm thinking that this whole week, you know, we're learning in the Chabur of the morning, we're learning the Inyan, the mitzvah, the rice of the kir, of washing, of Kiddush Adam Raglayim. Just sugiyim zvachim, which the guys from Daf Yomi did this year, Yutes Chav Chav Aleph, the sugiyah on Kiddush Adam Raglayim. But, you know, Daf Yomi is fast. And I was thinking, I'm so happy about this, because, you know, Neila, Kriyishma, Tefillin, other things that, you go through that over the years, just, you go through those sugyas, the Gemara's, but this thing that, like, Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, it's not something that, unless you're learning the Iyan, Masech Tezvachim, you're just not going to get it. So, on the one hand, we're learning in the morning certain particular things in these dinim of Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. The person could think, you know, like, what's, you know, unfortunately, there's no Beis HaMikdash, what's the Lamaisa, we don't need this right now, and all of these Diyukim, and the Duke Seifim, and the Dinim of Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, better the water, is it a din in the Kiyah, is it a din in the water, is it a din in the Koy HaOyved, is it a din in the Avoida, all of these things. But I'm so happy from this, because really, these are Dikduke Seifim, Pratim and Torah, that otherwise we wouldn't be seeing, we wouldn't be talking about, we wouldn't be learning, and it's a hein, like Rav Kook brings, it's a treasure, it's a treasure of Hashem's Torah. Or you could have an attitude like, you know, what do I get out of this? It's not happening, so what do I get out of this? Or it's a very obscure, you know, Indian, what am I getting out of it? We have to be happy. We're getting the Dvar Hashem. Devlikim Chaim means it's another drop of life. So, okay, normally you're in California. Normally, like to be in San Diego, not in New York. So, normally your Indian is to learn Hilchos Shabbos, Seder. There's a preferred. That's. But the pnimius of a healthy person is that every drop of Torah is Torah's Chaim. Imagine the doctor said that you had to take. You have to take 40 milligrams of this medicine in order that you should live. And you're not so mocked, but 25, 30 is also okay. I never saw such a person. It says 40, you have to take 40. So you take 40. Not 36, not 37, 40. You have to be careful with more, but Torah, of course, medicine, you have to be careful. But you know, you're not going to be makel that you didn't take the whole thing. Because that's another nakuda of life. It's another drop, another tipa of life. I feel with the yourself from Yokoloi Mikolhoin. It's more precious to him, more valuable to him than any money in the world. It's more valuable to him than any money in the world. I've met people that have gone to, I met a guy, I don't say people, I remember this guy, that he was a person that did not have, was not wealthy by any means. He had to watch every penny. And there was a certain Indian that was learning, and he found that there was a Ksav Yad in England, in Cambridge, there's a Ksav, in Oxford, there's a Ksav Yad. And this guy couldn't take it, and he tried to get, to send, this is years ago, when that they should make a copy or something, and he went to England. He went to England just to go to the library, and to look at this, to look up this Inyan, the Ksav Yad. He didn't go to see the palace, the Westminster Abbey. He didn't go anywhere. He went to get this Ksav Yad, not to get it. They'll put him in jail if he took it out, just to learn it, a Ksav Yad to learn. He wasn't writing a book. Sometimes a person's writing a cipher or something. He wasn't writing a... Just look at this Ksav Yad. Because Yokel Mikol Hoin. Because a word of Torah, any word of Torah, is more precious than all of the money in the world. This is what a strong thing he says. Only when the basis of a person's life is sick. Only when the basis of a person's life is unhealthy. Then the person says things like, Shmuzu noah, the Shmuzu v'zoi eina noah. He's talking about the Gemara in Erevin that's brought down there in the note called Oimer Shmuzu. A person says, "Ach, I like this Torah that I heard, and I don't like that Torah that I heard." Shmuzu noah. Ah, this is a beautiful Torah. Shmuzu, the other Torah that I heard, eina noah. It's not beautiful. You could feel again. You like San Diego. You like a steak. You could feel a geshmak, a special geshmak. In that Torah that you like, but to say Shmuzu no, Shmuzu ena no, and even on that Madrega, them is, I guess maybe that's what Cook is saying, on the highest Madrega, even that, maybe, to make that chilik between this Shmua and that Shmua, Rav Cook says is a simon of something unhealthy in your Jewish, in the Yisayid HaNafshi of who you are, to make such a chilik. The Gemara there says that such a person is ma'abed. Hoina shel Torah, that's what Rav Kook is alluding to. That person who says Shmuzu no, who lives in that way, he says, this Torah is beautiful, that Torah is not beautiful. So the Gemara says, is Ma'abed, he loses Hoina shel Torah. Meaning he loses, Rashi says, the covet of Torah. He doesn't understand what the covet of Torah, Hoina shel Torah means the value, the price of Torah. He doesn't appreciate. Rashi says, it means kvaida shel Torah. The soifai, and Rashi says over there, the Gemara says over there, the Gemara, the soifai l'shtakech, Rashi says, the soifai l'shtakech mirenu. In the end, you're going to forget it. It's not valuable to you. It's not valuable to you. It doesn't mean a lot to you. So in the end, you're going to forget it. In the end, you're going to forget it. You have a person that he remembers every episode of a Honeymooners that he ever saw. I don't know if that means anything to the younger Oilem. But he remembers every single episode. It was like Alice said like this. And Ralph said like that. And Norton, I remember. And Norton, and Tracy, right? And Norton said like this, and Tracy said like that. He remembers, and there's missing episodes of Honeymooners, and they found in Cambridge, except, yeah, from the Honeymooners, and he remembers, and every single funny face that Jackie Gleason made, and that this one said, and every single nuance, and the joke, and the how he's, thanks. He remembers 30, 40 years, he can remember. See, it doesn't say, but how is it that the Gemara from this morning is like it's like from the distant past, and you can't remember the Gemara. So we don't want to say, because it's very embarrassing for us. So the easiest thing is to say, I have a bad memory. Now, how can you remember what Norton said? Huh? So if you saw the Rebbe saying that Gemara on video, 30 years before, you saw it on video. Okay, you still remember Norton better than you remember the Shia. I hope not. I mean, but I think that that's the type of people. So what the Gemara is saying and Rashi is saying is that Ha'im is Shmuzu Noah, Shmuzu Einu Noah, is Ma'abed Kol Hayne Shal Taira. Is Ma'abed Hayne Shal Taira. He's losing the value of Taira. And then Rashi says, "V'soifay l'shtakech mimenu." If something is not valuable to you, it's not precious to you, you're going to forget it. You don't remember it. Of course, there are different madrigas of memory. That's Hashem's in you. That's not our in you. But Hashem made a person as a memory. But as far as what's valuable to you, what's important to you, a person doesn't forget to eat. Doesn't forget to eat. Doesn't forget to sleep. So when a person is already qualifying certain pieces of Torah, this is a shmonon, this is a shenazach, this is a nice thing. Now, this shmonon is nothing special, this Torah. But you can hear people, B'nai Torah, talking like that, kaseid. So it's not a matter of what you say, it's a matter of what your attitude is. So if Cook says that if a person has a healthy soul, he doesn't come to such a thing. Shmuzo no, shmuzo ino no. He doesn't come to such a thing. Because the healthy soul is chafetz chayim and appreciates every drop of life. Again, there are embellishments, there are enhancements, there's a chelik of life that you enjoy more, whatever. But to say shmuzo no, ino no, ino no, means you're not really chafetz chayim. You don't see Torah as your life. If we take that, kuchibich yisol v'araisa, it's the same thing if you say, this Jew, this is a nice Jew, and this is a Jew that's not a nice Jew. Nice, what am I nice? This is a Yehudi zenor, a Yehudi zenor. It means that you're also missing something in your understanding of what a Jew is. Because kuchibich yisol v'araisa, chad. Same way you say that Kadosh Baruch Hu is today was nice to me, and Kadosh Baruch Hu yesterday is not nice to me. It's a symbol of an unhealthy soul. It's unhealthy. I mean, this yid is a noah, and this is a nice Jew. This is not a nice Jew. Because of what? Because things that he does and things that the other one does. No, it's not. You'd say that there's certain, this yid is a geshmaki yid. You have a certain hanah from that, because it has a natiyah, you have a natiyah to this person, whatever. But to say in a Jew that Yehudi Zu ain't a noah, again, I'm only saying in a general way, I'm throw benefits, Abi Karsa, whatever. I'm just saying in a general way. To say Yehudi Zu ain't a noah, it means that you don't have an appreciation for every drop of what? Of the Nefesh al-Kis of a Jew. When a person loves a Jew because of Nefesh al-Kis, not because of taste. The Torah. So you see that now, if you want to be a successful Rebbe, we spoke about this many times, if you want to be a successful Rebbe, you have to be able to, be an entertainer. You have to say, you have to give over in a certain way, and you have to say like this and like that. Because if the audience, if the people who are coming to learn are the same people who grew up on the honeymooners, so then they're coming to learn, and the only way that they could, you have to make it as noah as possible. That's why they're making such beautiful sfarim also. So you package it in the most beautiful way, and maybe the person will enjoy it. But a person who be'emes is chafetz chayim, it makes no difference if the Rebbe gets up and the Rebbe has a monotone and he doesn't make any jokes and he just talks, he just says the shir like that, nothing. And he doesn't say any exciting this or story or joke or anything. If the person who's listening is chafetz chayim, the emes, every drop of Torah, then it's not an afkimin. He would also say, of course it's nice if you have a Rebbe that's more engaging, a teacher that's more engaging. But you have parents now that they want the teachers to come in clown suits and to juggle, and that it should say on it ABC and they juggle. Kindlech watch, there's an A, there's a B. And he has to do all kinds of tricks. I don't know where this is all going, because it's really crazy. But you have to be able to make it interesting and exciting. Just look at any of the English Jewish newspapers that come out and see what all kinds of kunsim that are needed in order to make it appealing to people, to a yeshiva or a tzedakah or something, all kinds of funny things they have to come. How you have to package things and to present things in order to somebody show. Instead of saying, imagine, I know this, that whenever I have to give a shiur someplace, so they say, could you please give us a title? And I stopped doing it already. I just said, you give any title. I just one thing I don't want you to put ever. I don't want you to put any word Kabbalah or mysticism in any title. Other than that, you make it any title. Anyway. No mysteries, no Kabbalah, no mysticism. You make it title. But you have to come up with something. What does it have to be? The title. The deepest secrets of the soul. And I mean, you have to make some kind of a thing. To make it sound like who knows what. You look in the newspaper, you see these titles and things. And why? Because you have to make it a shmua noah. So if you can't make it a Shmuel Noah, at least make it into a title that's Noah, so you fool the Olam to come. And then the Olam comes, they listen, they said, this is some mystery of the soul. He just said Rashi. So that's not good. Rashi's not good. So they say you have to make a fancy title. So I, how many times I had this? I always tell these people, it takes me longer to think of a title than to prepare any shiur. It's the truth. I can just start thinking of a title because that's, you have to be in marketing. I'm not in marketing. I never went to school for that. So I don't know that you're in marketing, so you market it. But everything's about that now. I was in Borough Park yesterday, so there was on every corner there's this big signs, and it's so I looked and they had this pretty, very very pretty like pillow. It's there's a thing, the sign says in Yiddish, tzedakah party. Pei aleph reish tes yud, with a big white pillow with pink frilly things and a pink bow around it. I saw it right away for ladies, not for, so I didn't look at it any further to see like what is this. I just saw everywhere there's this big pillow with a pink ribbon and it says tzedakah party. And stam the nashim tzadkani is going to go and they're going to raise money mitzvah for whatever that inin is. But these people had to sit around thinking, like for a long time, and they had to find a pillow and it had to be pink and then had to make a ribbon and they had to get higher and do this and graphics and everything just so what. The nashim tzadkani says, hey, if you just tell them that, you know, the people that need money, could you come? You know, you can't do that now. You can't do that. I was talking to, you know, a few times I asked Yoni, this young Lazar's Isaac in this, in, you know, with advertising, and I was trying to understand how it works and to explain to me. It's a whole way of, you have to think, how do you get something out? It's a big chachma, how to do that. So that already carried over to Torah. You see when tzaddik is coming from some place to have, they make the such things and they have to put in the. It became advertising and marketing. So that's, I think, what Cook is saying is that person that needs that is nechla hayisayt hanafshi, shmuzu nov, shmuzu einanov. So he's ma'abed hayinu shel Torah. He doesn't appreciate every drop of life. So he doesn't appreciate every drop of Torah. So you have to try to figure out a way how to make this, how to fool him to get this, that he should be so excited and interested that he should come to the shiur, he should come to the party, he should do this and do that. So maybe. Same thing that comes to another Jew. To love a Jew means to love him, pashtus, for who he is, because he's a Yid. He has this thing, he has this miley, he doesn't have that miley, he has this, he behaves like this, he acts like that. So nafkimin is a Yid. But This is a beautiful Jew. This is not such a beautiful Jew. That's a chesaron on our part. That's because we have this machlas and nefesh. In the same way that when it comes to Torah, we have tastes that this is good and this is not good. So when it comes to a Jew, we also have. Every one of us falls into that. That's what it is. And you know, when you're a successful Rebbe, when you have been able to convey to a Talmud that he can't live without Torah. That's when you're successful, Rebbe. But if the Rebbe's Talmidim go Ben Hazmanim, or they come back Shabbos, and they don't open a Sefer, then you haven't succeeded. You understand?
Yeah, his whole desire is just to give it over to those boys. So what can I do? What's the new, those are the name that I'm successful.
Yeah.
It's not marketing, it's like I just got to get any way to get in.
Sure, I'm not in any way criticizing the people doing all this stuff, because you have to trying to figure out ways to get it out. I'm not Chalila. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. No, the Rebbeim that are doing that, they're sitting in front of classroom, and the kids, these kids that are that even when they're not holding their iPods, they're like looking at iPods. So the Rebbeim are desperate to find ways how to get to these kids. These Rebbeim are all heroes. The ones that just say, these kids, you know, forget it. There's nothing to do with them. Those are not teaching Torah. They're not successful. But the Rebbeim, that's why you have a lot from the old school. So this Rebbe still thinks it's, you know, 1964, and he's giving a class. So it's not working. So then you have the Rebbe that understands 2011, and he's trying to. He sees these kids are not. They're not able. They're not going. They're not happening any of this. So then he has to come down and to try to figure out how to get into that child. But the only thing that Rebbe has to always be careful is that he shouldn't become a child himself. It's a very big danger like that. So I had this conversation that my daughter mentioned this to me, and we're talking. I had this with two of the kids. We were talking about it last week, or 2 weeks ago. That you have a situation where the yeshiva is very strong against the boys texting. You could say texting, right? Text messaging. I don't know if they're very much against texting. They're very much against texting. You can't do that, and they're not allowed to have. And they're very, very strong. And then, so one of the kids, they told me that yes, but in the same yeshiva, they have a few rebbeim who are texting divrei Torah to the boys at night, especially when it was snowing and stuff. I think that's when it came up. They were texting divrei Torah, or there's certain rebbeim. It was a rebbe that. But whatever, that they do that kaseda, that they're texting Torah to the kid at night. So this is an interesting thing. I was trying to understand this. How to, you know, what's the Rosh Hashem like with that? On the one hand, we're saying that we got to try as long as possible to keep the kids, like, out of this whole inyan, and to keep them clean from this, and to try that they should, you know... that they should at least have some years with their, you know, that's where they're okay. I was driving to go get my daughter from school yesterday, and there was a boy, looks like he was maybe bar mitzvah, that was crossing the street, in the middle of the street. I was driving regular, it was on Broadway, and he was texting. He didn't look up from the thing. He was crossing the street. It was cars. I mean, it wasn't like I had to go, but I had to stop. And he didn't even look up at all for a second. He crossed Broadway like this. So on the one hand, we want to try to at least delay that sickness. On the other hand, the Rebbe knows that who are we kidding? Doesn't make a difference how many notices they put out in the school. He knows that these kids are testing to each other every few minutes they have. So let me get some divrei Torah. Let me make a connection to the kid and work my way into the kid's neshama like that, because that's where he is now. It's an interesting shiloh. What do you think?
That's the kid crossing the street. They almost killed you.
Yeah. But what do you think? I'm not talking about that part of it. I'm talking, what do you think about this thing? Like, should the rabbi do that or not? Should that be or not? Like, what do you think? No.
It's just a vehicle. Texting is just a vehicle, like the telephone. You don't outlaw the vehicle. You outlaw the type of use when it's used, not the vehicle.
We're not talking about whether they should do that. The yeshiva does that. I'm saying,
it's like saying, don't go on the internet. But go to this site to check it, this Jewish site.
Like, they made that mistake with one of the big Jewish organizations when this was starting, like 10, 15 years ago, and start to get, so they came out with a very big issue against using the internet, and on the bottom of the stationery it says the organization, www. That was the organization. Right. So then there was a big tumult, and people wrote letters, and they took that off the stationery. I'm thinking about it the whole time. What is that? I'm not sure.
Well, it could be the texting is good, but then don't tell them that they can't text. You can't. It's a serious.
I don't know. It's like it's a. I don't know. Is it a mamonsha? Is it a tati disaster? Is it a cheskes issa? Is it a roiv? Is it a chazal? I don't know. Where did these things come in? Yankli, I'm sorry.
Yeah, really. Basically, it's poor management or stupidity on the part of the guy walking down the street. I've seen people in this.
I'm not talking about that guy. I forget. That was just a side thing.
People walking down the street with
a
safer in their hand, crossing the
street. Same thing. Fine. But Yankel, I'm not asking about that kid. Hashem should watch over him. I'm not talking about that kid. I'm talking about what happened to the Rebbe. Forget about the kid. That was just a side Indian.
They're just trying to reach their audience. That's their audience.
Okay, so that's what you're... Fine. I hear. I'm trying to understand. I don't know. Avram, you want to...
There's an article this week, one of the new glossy magazines. And the point was, everything could be mutter and everything could be usser.
Mm-hmm.
We have to teach our children and ourselves to make decisions. And mm-hmm. the younger, it was the Aliyah, the three Askanim that made Aliyah over the last 20 years. And one of them that said, Americans have the ability, they're exposed to not being in Eden, and maybe being neighborhoods that they're in Eden or from and not from, you have a choice right away. You can't go play at his house. We grew up in Atlanta. You can't go play. You can go to play at his house, but you never can eat there. I had a guest in my house many years ago. He's married, has children now. They didn't have children. And he said he was brought up in Akron, Ohio.
Yeah.
And what did he do? He went to every birthday party with his own goodie bag. His own goodie bag. So now, let's go move it to other really from Haredi neighborhoods, Psy in America, Psy in our St. Louis Glacier, and children don't know what it is, I have to make a decision. So the younger we make a decision, we teach our children
right.
to make a decision. I think the earlier we can handle what the Rebbe says.
So the saying is that...
right? Is it not right? It's always wrong.
So the,
it's always
right. Right. Is
I have to make the decision. Again, I might
good.
Urbane, and it is that. Rebbe's Texas, it's snowing, the whole world comes to a stop because 3 inches of snow. Fine, up in Canada, where I come from, you got 3 feet of snow and the schools are open.
Life goes on.
What do I do with school not being open?
Yeah. So what Avram is saying is, he's saying, I think they're saying a good thing, is that the ikur, I guess it was that we all feel this, but the ikur is that somehow we have to teach the children that it's not pure good and it's not pure evil, that we have to teach the children that texting Narishkeit is a terrible waste of time and it's a waste of one's life, but texting Torah could be a good thing. But yeah, but the kibbutz, they went to see, yeah. They went to Panovich, they went to visit Panovich.
A guy who comes in sandals into Bnei Brak to a Yarche Kala, gee, I don't talk to him on the street.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Rav Kahanan was speaking about this 7-8 years earlier,
yeah.
That when Ein Charod, the biggest Sherma Tzair kibbutz, is going to have a Rebbeim and teaching, and they have a Beis Medrash.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So what should the yeshiva do? So okay, I hear what you're saying is for sure the pnimius. But tell me, so tachlis, should that be happening or not?
It should be explained, and it should show the Rebbe should show the pain of having to use something that is being misused, and please.
Let's use it the right way.
You wake up in the morning like
okay, I'm your uncle's father, and I say. My kid is not into the Indian. I never gave him one. And he's telling me that his friends are sharing Divrei Torah with the Rebbe every night. And I never gave my kid a thing. And I was telling my kid, when you're 13, when you're 18, you're going to get a phone. And now the other kids say that they're getting Torah from Rebbe at night. So then what am I? So I'm just trying to. I'm going through these things. I what you're saying is ideal. We all agree. That's ideal. In other words, Havana, Oymek, explaining.
The question: what happens if the Rebbe happens to have a video cam, or he has the ability to
Skype?
Not just Skype.
I'm so proud. I learned that. So now you tell me.
You can actually turn on your television, go to a certain channel, and there's the Rebbe giving his shiur. In other words, the issue is you're with using the internet, with using television, with using texting. You're always between the two things of. Do I teach them that there's a right way to use this and the wrong way to use this, or do I just usher it completely? And we've always, Rebbe himself has said also, we've always ushered these things completely. Television is ushered, internet, unless you're working, is ushered, and if we tell them with the text thing that it's not ushered, then they're going to extend that to, well, maybe the internet's not so bad, maybe the television's not so bad, as long as it's...
What about children? With children, they have to be...
The message is not clear, then.
Right.
It's also
electricity.
Also,
John.
We have to figure out why we're asking. We have to figure out why we're asking, and then what we can do. It's not Stam. Oh, we're sitting in the Rebbe's room, and let's make this usher. It's bad. This kid did something wrong with it. But if that's what the kids are going to grow up as, then let's figure out what the reality is and train them for the reality. Yonos Rosenblum spoke. I think last week he said one of the problems of the challenges of Haredim was exactly as he said is you. They're not growing up, making choices, they're not growing up, and they're going to find out later on when they have to make choices, they don't have that
They're not the kalim.
Yeah, so if you tell, maybe if texting is, Rebbe has to spend a week talking about texting. The lack of social, you know, ability that you lose is one reason not to text. The having a cell phone is another reason not to text. But on the other hand, if everyone's texting and it's one of the two, maybe that is, you know, it's a way to for a Rebbe to text. A whole Devar Torah is, I don't know, it's a question.
Do you have this in yeshiva? That is that you know that the rebbeim.
More email, but sure, like in more kiruv.
I know there's the emails. And Shlomo Yonah was telling me he's got to be with the emails and back and forth with the talmidim and with the kiruv.
You have my zucker calling your kid out of time, so he doesn't know how to text for the life. Right. And then all of a sudden, all these new advisors say, "Oh, you can text." It doesn't work.
Right.
Because we've lost all our forms of communication.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Kids cannot translate the ciphers serious like that. At this age, they're talking about 13 years old. They can't.
That's what's worrying me. That's what Binyan Bain said. That's worrying me very, very much about the child with the steers at that age. I know ideally what we're talking about, everything is right, but a child.
The same steers that we had with children, and we had our relatives over that ate treif, and our parents went over to their house to visit.
Right.
And you knew not to control them. Correct.
Right.
And my father said, "You gotta go visit your relatives in Eretz Yisrael." My father had said, relatives that he had seen once in his life before, and I had to go.
We all had that. There was once upon a time that not everybody was from. Now you think everybody's from. To explain, and you still have that with the Balei Tshuva.
And it's so crucial. You see that in going into other neighborhoods, but they don't have the choices. The children aren't given the choices, so it's all us. Their eyes are going. The first time they see a Jew, they go to the street.
But you need somebody to see what John was saying. If you have a Rebbe or a Bain that could really talk, if you're talking to the kids and you're explaining to them and you're working things out, the problem is when it's just yes or no. You have to explain to them. It's hard to be a kid now. It's hard to be a teacher now. It's very, very hard. And there were always choices. But it wasn't embarrassing to have choices in the past. What?
It wasn't as much
influence from the outside. The whole world is now wide open.
Exactly.
You live in Williamsburg, it doesn't make a difference anymore.
The kids are not any stupid, you know.
No, you don't. There's no such thing anymore.
Much more influence than what you can give yourself.
You can't keep out anymore. That's, yeah.
At 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night, when the candles go out, the lights, you can still have lights in the house.
Finished. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Mitzvah Shem. So I thought it was an interesting Indian. So we'll continue. Next Erev Shabbos, we're not having. We'll continue the following Erev Shabbos.